The Soul Gremlin with Seismic. And good morning. And I'd like to welcome Mina. How are you?
Hello, I am very good.
So for Scorpio Books of the Week.
Yep. That's us.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, by the way. Yes, Liam puts in his apologies.
for not being here.
Yeah, he's travelling on a train. Well, he was last time I spoke to him, which was about 12 hours ago from Copenhagen.
Well, that seems like not a bad way to spend your day. So yeah. I think we can probably forgive him.
Yeah. Okay, now what have we got for Scorpio Books?
Today we've got more horror from me because I've been in a little bit of a horror phase at the moment. It's cold, it's wintry.
Yes.
You know, perfectly atmospheric for this kind of book. So we've got A House with Good Bones by T. Kingfisher, which is a fantastic haunted house story with a bit of a rural twist, and it's got some sort of strong narratives about the dark sides of family history. So the plot follows a young woman named Sam as she returns to her mother's rural house, and she sort of begins to pick up on some strange occurrences that are a bit different from the last time that she was there. For example, her mum has repainted the home. It was bright, sort of beautiful colours, and now it's this sort of bland cream. There's some weird vultures that keep perching outside on the letterbox. And her mum, who used to be perfectly okay with people talking smack about her dead grandmother, will not have a word of it. You cannot say anything. And Sam is sort of increasingly worried that her mother might be developing neurological problems, the neighbours won't help, and she has to sort of confront the idea that there might be a bit of an upsetting alternative reason to why things are happening. And as things escalate, she must sort of unwind the mystery of the house and herself and the history of her family that may not be all that it seems. Mm. It builds this fantastic sort of creeping sense of unease from minute one. The first, like, line is talking about, there's a vulture on my letterbox, and that is a very strong start for a horror novel. It sort of also encapsulates perfectly the unusual feeling of being an adult returning to your childhood home but seeing everything basically the same, except for the strange sort of little differences that are so unsettlingly out of character for Sam's mum that they create the sense of wrongness, and she has to decide what she will trust more, whether it's her own memories or the words of her mother sort of adamantly denying the things that she thinks are true. It's set in this isolated rural town without much in terms of internet or cell phone reception. So Sam is without the communications that we're so used to in our day-to-day life. And she's forced to deal with, you know, the spotty reception and the slow internet. And she's trying to research the reasons behind the strange things that she's experiencing, because she's a scientist. She's a biologist of some kind. And so, you know, she knows how to research things, but she can't. She's been cut off. Mm-hmm. And so you get this great sense of suspense as it almost feels like she's running out of time while things are getting weirder and weirder, and the internet and her only source of information is, like, remaining stubbornly slow. And she's trying to get all this info, but it's just not going to happen. And this creates this really great sense of isolation as she's cut off from all that's familiar and she's without contact to the people that she knows that might be able to help. I am a little bit biased. Me and my family moved out to rural Canterbury when I was about 12 or 13, and I only moved back into the city a couple years ago. And there's a lot of similarities with the description of the setting that she's in and where I grew up. And so it has this little hint of nostalgia for me. There's a lot of similarities between North Carolina, apparently, and Canterbury, and the main one that I really relate to is the fact that there is no phone signal and no internet and everything is really slow.
Actually, I was just going to say that about where I grew up, which is the West Coast, Greymouth.
Everything is so slow, you can't do anything, you just have to suck it up. And there's the other sort of really strong theme in this book, other than the isolation, is that the difference between what you think of your family history and what it actually is, and there's... I'm not going to go into detail because I really, really liked this part of the book. But Sam has to sort of decode her own family history from her grandmother's side and try to figure out the connections between that and the weird things that's sort of happening to her. And she has to dissect the contradictions between her own memories of her grandmother and her mum's sort of adamant differing opinions, and the accounts that her older brother relates to her of her childhood. Like, there's some memories that she finds out that, oh, she thought this was a dream. No, that's actually a suppressed memory, and she doesn't find this out until her brother tells her. And there's these themes of sort of familiar trauma and the desire to be recognized as an adult by people who might only ever see you as a child. The characters are also really well established. Sam is a fantastic narrator, and she very well captures the weirdness of her situation, as well as the very human ability to rationalize nearly everything. She tries her best to find a sort of natural or reasonable solution for all of the weird things that are going on, and when it becomes clear that it's not something that's particularly mundane, she faces it with a very sort of stubborn resignation. She's kind of like, oh, well, if I have to deal with this, then I guess I will, but up until that point, she's just kind of finding scientific reasons for the possible things that have been happening. I also just loved her humour. She's got this very dry wit that just... I didn't expect to laugh when reading a horror novel, but it's really something that caught me off guard, and it very much proved me wrong. Even a lot of the background characters are super fleshed out. To sort of add to the isolation, there aren't very many other characters that you meet, but there's like maybe two other main ones other than her mum, and they're so well depicted and fleshed out that it almost makes up for it. And they all have that very same sort of dry sense of humour, but they really start to grow on you, and they're all so distinct in their own ways and like wonderfully supportive of our poor, confused protagonist, even if they don't quite understand what's happening. The conclusion to the book was also just fantastic, and I've been reading it through for the second time, and you sort of start to notice all of these little hints to the weirdness that have been set up from minute one, and it's really something that I recommend reading twice. Like, no spoilers, but if you read it, really read it again just to sort of soak in all of the little details.
Mm-hmm.
Winter is such a good time to read a horror book, especially like yes. on days like this when it's all dark and gloomy and atmospheric, and this one really did not disappoint. It's such an absolute delight and a very surprisingly distinct twist on the haunted house story. To my delight, Scorpio's been expanding our horror section. It's a couple shelves near the science fiction section, and this is one that absolutely deserves its place on the shelf. It's also one of the books in our winter catalogue, so give that a look if you're looking for some new material, as this is only one of many, many titles. So if you're looking for something to read, you should give that a squiz.
Awesome. So that's A House with Good Bones.
Yep.
Oh, excellent.
By T. Kingfisher.
T. Kingfisher. Brilliant stuff. And also, just in terms of your winter catalogue, so is that online?
There is a copy of it, a digital copy on the Scorpio Books website. I think if you just go on it and it'll say newsletter up the top, and you click on that and it's got sort of all of our previous ones, but this one's just the first one on the list, and it's sort of at the top of the banner as well.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you so much, Mita, for Scorpio Books. Scorpio Books of the Week, really.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, brilliant stuff. Okay, rolling in, here we go. This is one from Headwack in Hypho. Busy morning here. Burnt breakfast with a Missy G filling in for the fabulous Liam. And so shortly we'll be speaking with Georgie Cook as well, coming up with a new initiative, Night Club Initiative called Food Court.